Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Woodruff. Welcome to the Small Business Podcast, where I interview different small business owners and ask them questions that matter, just the practical questions that we can take and apply their answers to our own businesses. And today's guest was Brian Horvath. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview, and I'd love to hear your feedback. Before we jump in, I am an online fitness coach, so if you or someone who's struggling to get started or struggling with consistency or struggling with not knowing what to do or whatever your challenges are, just check out my website, woodrufffitness.com. That's three F's in the middle there. And click on any of the Get Started Now buttons, and I'm happy to that you can just book a call and we can just chat through things. I don't charge anything for that. You know, best case scenario, I sign up, you as my new client, and we work together. Worst case scenario, I point you in the right direction. And so, yeah, just let me know how I can help you, and let me know what you think of this episode. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Small Business Podcast. I have with me today my guest, Brian Horvath. Brian, why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, tell everybody a little about you and about what you do, man, what your business is.
Yeah, Brad, thanks for having me on the podcast here. Swell what you're doing. Really cool to see how you affect change in people's lives and business. And business is fun, right? And so it's, I don't know, somewhere down the road, growing up as a kid, after I realized I couldn't be a all-star second baseman, I realized my purpose is around people. And so for me, my background is really all around the kind of the people business. So I'm from Pittsburgh. So I'm a big Steeler fan, Pirate fan, Penguin fan, all that stuff. Check, check, check. And so hopefully you continue to listen, folks, after hearing that. But then I went to Ohio State, and we did not call it the Ohio State University back in the day. So I don't know where that came from or started, but I call it that now. So, but I went there and I graduated with a communication degree. I call it a BA and BS. You know, you can figure that out yourself. And that led me to get into sales and marketing and being in the people business. Fast forward through all the ups and downs and all arounds of business, I realized I really want to start my own business. But yet for so many years, I was afraid to start because of just, well, many of the reasons that people have in small business is it going to work? Am I going to make it? Am I going to make any money? Am I going to like it? You know, can I handle it all? And all those things. But here I am doing that, and I think that's how you and I even connected, is that I own a small business too. And so I look forward to sharing with people how to make theirs better as well.
Absolutely, man. And you're in Tampa, right?
Yeah, I'm in Tampa, Florida. I have two little kids and a wife. I started with the wife first and then two little kids. So that's just my story. But I've been living here since 2003, and back and forth between Tampa and Orlando in different positions, and then and whatnot. And my wife and I have been married almost 10 years. I have a 5-year-old and a almost 3-year-old, a boy and a girl each, and two little dogs too. So
cool. Awesome, man.
No picket fence. No white picket fence.
Not quite there yet, huh? So you run BrianHorvath.com. Obviously, let us know kind of like what that is, what you do for work, like kind of like just how you got there, how you got to doing your own thing. Just kind of share some of that with us.
Yeah, sure. So almost a year ago, actually a little under a year ago, I started an LLC. It's called the Horvath Training Institute. And BrianHorvath.com is kind of what, you know, the domain, and, you know, Facebook and all that fun stuff is what connects people to me. And the whole heart of the Training Institute, well, it was visionary to think that one day it would grow beyond me, but things would come underneath me. For example, Brian, you do, you know, physical fitness and coaching and things like that, right?
Right.
And that's something I have not passion for, honestly. And I love ice cream too much to even care. But but in all seriousness, so why that should be a part, I think, someone's journey. So I'd love to have people team up with me, or me team up with them. So that's why the Horvath Training Institute. But currently, and most importantly for me, I feel my purpose in life is to help people to know, live, and love their purpose, or the purpose for their career and finances. Okay. And with that being said, is I'm a speaker, with events and conferences and things, and online and offline, but also a consultant to businesses, helping businesses grow and increase improve their culture by having people realize that they have a purpose, that their purpose is to be at that employer or in that role or to grow with that organization and whatnot. And then I'm also a coach. So I help individuals in businesses or personally or via online programs or platforms or courses I've created to help them realize their purpose in life is not money. Their purpose in life is not career status or whatnot, but those are tools to help them accomplish their overall life purpose for why they were here, what they're created for. I don't believe we're just here by chance or by reason. I think there's here for, we have a purpose.
Right.
And so from my mess, you may have heard it said before, right? People's mess to message. Through my being broke, busted, and disgusted as a young man to now I believe I'm healed and whole and better and then helping others. And so that's what I do through BrianHorvath.com, the Horvath Training Institute, is help people know, live, and love the purpose for their career and finances.
Awesome, so, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for clearing that up and sharing that what you do. That's cool. So let's get into a little bit of the practical stuff here. Like, who would you say kind of like your target audience, your target client is, like, targeting with that service you just shared there?
Yeah, sure. So I'll put it in the story format a little bit. Growing up, man, I always had ambition. You know, something that was just this. My mom might say, Brian, you're never satisfied. Well, there's pros and cons to that, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like just, you know, give me one more carry down the field. Let me score that touchdown. One more, you know, why just sit on 7-point lead? Let's rack up the points, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm competitive and I'm also futuristic, part of my strength finders. I'm an activator, achiever, and I believe in significance. So those are my strengths, my top 5 strengths. And so growing up, looking back, now I'm going, oh, I could see that weaving through my jobs or my background or my life, even what I'm doing today. And so my target is to help people that are just wondering, what do I do with all these gifts, these abilities, these strengths, these dreams I have? What do I do? And so, yeah, that could be anyone, right? But specifically, what I want to target is that young man or young lady in their 20s, all the way up to their 50s, and going, this is a sweet spot of life to earn income, to have family, to make a way for themselves. It doesn't mean it's the end of life at 50. I'm not saying that.
All downhill from there.
Yeah, right. But well, you know, right. That whole story of Colonel Sanders, right? Didn't start Kentucky Fried Chicken until he's like 78 or something crazy or cool like that. And, you know, those kinds of stories. Yeah. But I really want to help people go, man, where am I? What do I do? And how do I get there? I feel there's something. I just get stuck, or I have limiting beliefs about myself, or I'm not sure what next step to take. Well, I bring through my energy, if you can tell I'm a little energetic, enthusiasm. Good. Yeah, man. Through my being genuine and authentic and transparent, I want to go like, look, not that I have it all together now, but I didn't have it all together then. And I don't want you to miss that opportunity. Let's talk about that now. And let's talk about how we build on that mistake mountain, not be buried underneath it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's good.
That's my target, man. Now, when we talk about finances, I've mentioned to you about serving corporations or businesses, specifically small and medium-sized businesses, but I'm okay to take big business money too. receive it. But is to help people eliminate the money stress they bring into work.
Okay.
Right? And so, for example, years ago when I was in the wine business, I used to be in the wine and spirits business, and I used to call on clients and stuff. I remember going up to my boss, Rich Spiro, and go, Rich, for some reason today, we didn't get paid. I don't know why. It's Friday. It's supposed to be payday, my friend. He goes, I know. Something happened. Some glitch in the matrix one of those office moments, you know, like Michael Scott just decided to spend it on the party, you know, whatever. Yeah. The money for everyone's supposed to get paid and put it to an office party that no one wanted to make copies of the face at and whatever. All that to say is I was struggling. Rent was due. I needed to party that night, so I needed money for that. And by the way, did I mention I needed a party? I think I just, that's where my focus was. But I was struggling because I didn't manage my money well. And most Americans live paycheck to paycheck, and they bring that money stress into work. And what does that do? Well, it helps them be less productive at work. It also helps the company be less productive and successful. And it creates a culture of fear, of stress, anxiety, and worry. It leads into anger. And all of a sudden, you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
All because of money stress for a lot of people in America. So I help them get rid of that stress so they can be better at work, better at home, and everyone can make more money and be living more on purpose.
Cool.
That's my target.
Cool, man. So you work with, just so I understand, you work with, you will work with, like if I as an individual were to come to you, I could hire you, but also if you know, years down the line, one of my businesses has grown into like a larger company where I have several employees, I could also hire you to come on and help like my employees. Is that so you'll do kind of both of those things?
That's right. So I talk about being a speaker from like a big stage or whatever. I love speaking. Mm-hmm. I get fired up, man.
I can tell.
And so it just gets exciting, right? These are real people, real lives, real dreams. Mm-hmm. And I get to share all my goofs with people. What a great time.
No, yeah. But
how I've been able to overcome. So I speak from that. And then when we get into consulting, what I talk about sitting with the business owner and help them understand what their issues. And a lot of times, sort of the fact-finding or discovery mode, whatever you want to call it, you hear people say, like, man, I keep getting knocks on my doors for raises. Or I can't get people to go that extra mile. Or overall, not everyone, right? Overall, there's just some opportunities. Well, have we helped them as a leader in our business, help those people eliminate obstacles, eliminate hurdles? And come to find out, it's not what they're paid. It's not what they make. It's what they're doing with those tools and resources that, and the business owner too, by the way,
right?
It's what they're doing with those things that can hold them back from achieving what they ultimately want to get to. And so that's that consulting kind of piece. But when it gets into coaching, those companies will hire me to coach their individuals.
Okay.
And sometimes even their spouses and bring them in the office as a offering of value, saying, hey, we care much about you. We want to retain you. We want you to grow.
Yeah.
And we're going to serve you with these coaching that we're going to pay for.
That's a cool company that would do that. That's awesome, man.
Absolutely. That's leadership, right?
Yeah.
That's helping people overcome. And so I really love working with those people because
leaders
hang out with leaders and we all could use a lot more of that.
Yeah, it sounds like you've kind of set yourself up in a good spot because like the companies that would reach out to you are obviously the companies who care about their employees. You know, you're not going to get any of the companies that are on the, I guess, lower end of that spectrum with what you do. So let me ask, man, with marketing, how do you get your services out to new potential clients and prospects? What does that look like for you? What avenues?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So, you know, there's nothing I think back when I was in Amway, back when I was like 21, trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life, right? They were talked about this thing called WOM. By the way, Amway lasted about a year for me, but I will never, ever say anything bad about it because how the group that sponsored me did it, man, was a blessing. They led me. I mean, the stuff that I got in my hands to lead, to become a leader, to understand business principles, success principles was great. But one of the big things they talked about was called WOM, which is word of mouth. So there is nothing better than word of mouth. Now, obviously, you've got to start somewhere, right?
Right.
So how I find myself doing that best is when I come alongside someone and they find value, no matter what level, whether it's a quick conversation like this, or if it's a coaching session or multiple, what did you learn from that? What did you like best? What did you, you know? So when I do my webinars, I ask those little nuggets, and it helps me get word of mouth out there. So like whether it's called social proof or word of mouth, but also 13 plus years of doing this, I have people that have come across and have come across me that I'll just ask them, hey, I'm doing this business now. You're an influencer. Who do you suggest I should talk to with what I'm doing? And the cool thing about that is it allows them to also ask questions and shoot holes in what I call my elevator pitch or my sales pitch or just how I'm communicating my message. And they're like, well, I don't understand this. Help me understand that.
That's
great. Cool. Now that we all understand it, who can you help me talk to? So it's pretty cool like that. And I think it's about seeking to serve. So if you add value to people first, seeking to serve them first, then those things also come in that you wouldn't even expect. Like this, man.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we get connected?
Yeah, just Facebook, man. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you
That's a big part.
Yeah. So networking is a huge thing for you, and then word of mouth from there. You would say that that's kind of your like deadly duo there for getting the word out?
Yeah, deadly duo. I like that. I like that. I think also too, you know, networking can, depending on who you are, especially personality style, you know, have a negative connotation to it.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of see like the negative connotation is like, well, great, here we are, another networking event, or on LinkedIn even, which I do coaching on LinkedIn, help people communicate their purpose, how they're seeking to serve people. You know, how to make the right connections. People screw that up. Hey, hey, nice to meet you. Great. Hey, can I sell you something?
Like, right, dude. LinkedIn is full of that spam.
I'm not saying that's bad.
I'm saying it's bad.
Come on. There's gotta be a better way.
Yeah. Right? For sure. I don't even reply to that, you know?
I hardly do either. Unless I'm mad and then I go,
yeah.
Let me back up. And then I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, is there a better way you think you could have done that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there. I usually just kind of like go ahead and just delete it. But every now and then I'll get one. Like, the worst part for me is like, if I know they copied and pasted and they forgot to like change it to my name. And then every now and then I'll reply and be like, do you really think this is working? You know, just kind of like, not like a jerk way, but like, I'll kind of actually try to have a conversation with them and maybe change their mind about their approach. Anyway, it's just, but really it's just, I would love to say it's because I'm trying to help them, but I think I'm just grumpy in those days when I'm honest. Man, okay, so let's just talk really quickly about content. Like, do you do a lot with like social media type stuff or an email list or anything like that? Or do you rely almost solely on the networking and the word of mouth piece? What is social media, email type stuff look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe in the power of social media for good, right? Networking for good, right? There's an organization actually called that, Networking for Good. I think it can be, okay. So I'm a Russell Brunson fan. I don't know if you heard of Russell Brunson.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with him. I know the name.
Okay. But he's a ClickFunnels guy and all that. But,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I was trying to make the connection.
Right. So what I learned about him from him recently is like, if you want to be on social media and serve people, right? And he has a heart to serve. And I've been so blessed by him that I'll gladly give my money. I'll trade my money for the value that he brings, because also the way he does it.
Yeah.
He talks about going on social media. If you're in business online, as I am, and it's not all I want to do for sure. I love the people connection, but you need to unfollow all those people in your social media that can be distractions.
Yeah.
If they're not in your core market, if they're not in your focus, either who you want to serve to gain market feedback from, or who you want to follow because they're in a niche or somewhat of a niche like you are, then unfollow because those folks can be distractions, especially in today's times, politics, the issues we have going on with racism. I mean, it can get a little COVID. I mean, it can get hot and heated and distracting.
Yeah.
Life is full of enough problems of our own. We feel it. We know it already. I don't need to have that in my, and I got to stay focused.
Yeah.
So I want to use social media, but I want to use it sparingly in a way that's adding value to people and then trying to reduce the noise. So that's what I do there. My email list is almost 1,000 people, but I know it's not a lot and I really don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm just growing it mostly organically, asking people, may I add you to my email list? So Brandon, may I add you to my email list?
Yes.
Right. And most people will say okay. Yes, because you asked. Okay. So I've done that. Like the first 500 people that had on my email list were all personal asks from networking in the past.
Yeah.
And not everyone got back to me. The others were from speaking engagements, speaking for free, you know, adding value people that way and going, hey, can I have you on my email list? The others are my webinars that I do and my ebook that I've written about purpose. And so that's kind of built it up that way. I'm trying to also use some programs now to help me get more strategic or more organized with my social media, because that's the problem. Mm-hmm. The creation of content for me is not hard. It's scheduling that sucker, man, being organized, especially when you're a solopreneur and not that I don't have the money. I don't want to make the money for that right now.
Right.
There's other things I'm investing my money in to hire someone to help me do marketing.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with that currently.
Cool. Awesome, man. Yeah. Thanks for that. So, so you're not investing in like ads on social media ads, stuff like that.
Actually, I am. So
you are.
Thank you for that. Yeah. So right now I'm probably spending about 70 cents a click or 60 cents a click or something like that.
Yeah.
It's actually, so what I learned was my ebook, which is called Your Purpose, mm-hmm. How to Know It, Live It, Love It. It's like a 50 some page ebook, and it's very, like I said, authentic, genuine, conversational, like we're having here.
Yeah.
Trying to be myself, not pontificate. I'm trying to hey, here's some opportunities for you to grow and go in your purpose. That has been a nice lead magnet for me for free, and to be able to have leads come into the email list and spending about 70 cents a click or something like that on those ads. That's been very successful. Also, my webinar series called 7 Ways in 7 Days to Change Your Financial Future Forever. That is a little less because it's more specific now.
Yeah.
Purpose is kind of like broad, then you get into money, and then, you know, everyone has opinions about it. So what does that look like? So I'm fooling around learning how to do that. Sometimes I want to punch it in the face because I think like this should be able to be easier. It's still like a little harder.
Are you talking Facebook ads? Facebook ads? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Google ads is even harder and more frustrating.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I know it's something that's important. So
cool, man. Yeah, I'm always curious. You know, there are people who seem to really be big fans of like Facebook ads and even like Instagram and Instagram story ads even. And then other people are just kind of like, no, I don't do that. You know, so I'm always curious where people land on that. So cool. That's good to see you're getting results from it. So let's talk into your kind of talk to your like sales process a bit. So you put your name out there, you know, whether it's through word of mouth, whether somebody's clicked on one of your ads, whatever it is, they've kind of walked in the front door and now you have them, you know, what does it look like for you to take them from like potential client to client of yours? What does that process look like?
Yeah. And so, you know, one thing is back in the day when I managed, when I was in the wine business, that's probably the major part of my sales career was in the wine and spirits business. And it was, you were given a route, right? So you have a route of, you know, let's say 100 accounts. I'm just making up a number. Mm. And, you know, you go knock on the door. Well, in the wine business, a lot easier because there was only certain brands that certain distributors could sell. And no one, if a client wanted them, they couldn't get them from anywhere but you, right? So there was some of that minimal, they may have to interact with you, but they may not like you, they may not like your company, whatever. But there was some, if they wanted something, there was minimal degree of operate, they had to work with you. Uh-huh. It was up to me to go in and expand that book of business, right? To expand my, kind of my footprint in the door, in the company. When you have your own business like I do now, the world is like wide open. And you think, it should be much easier, right? You have this ocean now. Right. Well, it's harder to build relationships across a wide net, right? Yeah. And so it's a little bit more difficult. So what I try to do is operate from the funnel approach. Again, learning from Russell Brunson and ClickFunnels and other business leaders that having a funnel approach is having your target market, your dream clients, and then trying to work on products that would bring them in. Once they come in, what do? We'll add value to them. So I'll use my LinkedIn webinars, for example. A lot of folks are on LinkedIn today. 2013, there were only, when I started coaching on LinkedIn in 2013, I worked for a guy named Greg Wells, great internet marketer, awesome guy. And I actually met him at my church and he saw me leading career ministry there. And he goes, hey, I have a business helping people at LinkedIn. Would you want to do some coaching for me? I said, sure, I'll do a side hustle. So I did that, making X amount of dollars per hour, coaching people from all over the world on how to use LinkedIn, all different industries, kind of like your podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking to different people. And so in 2013, there were only 100,000 people on, or 100 million people on LinkedIn.
Wow.
Today, there are 600 million people on LinkedIn 7 years later. Wow. How about that for growth?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so what I try to do is market out to people who want to make the right connections on LinkedIn. So that's my pitch, right? It gets noisy. It gets busy. People don't know how to use it. They maybe don't like technology, so they want to avoid LinkedIn, but yet they've been told they need to. And then we hit this economic crisis and unemployment, and people go, LinkedIn, you know? It's like, well, it's a part of the approach. It's not the full approach, but it's a part of it. So I'm getting to my point here, Brandon.
Oh, no.
The point is that coming into the funnel, they have a felt need. Hmm. I've heard I need to get on LinkedIn. Then I bring my enthusiastic approach, 7 years of coaching people on LinkedIn, and I buy ads or I communicate to my email list or people tell people. And so they come and get a free 60-minute webinar, how to make the right connections on LinkedIn. And I talk about a super secret strategy. It's called seek to serve. The way that you're going to change your connection ratio or your connection effectiveness, the right connections on LinkedIn, is by sharing with the world that you have skills, abilities, talents, gifts, whatever you want to call it, and you're seeking to serve those who need most with what you do best.
Oh, that's good.
Serve those who need most, who need what you do best the most. Yeah, there's multiple ways to say that. After they come through the webinar, then I offer them a free critique of their LinkedIn profile. I call it a 7-point critique because I have 7 steps to make the right connection. So 7-point critique I give them. It takes me 2 to 5 minutes to do it. I look at their profile. I have the flow. I have the method. I know. And then I give them a free critique. After they get their free critique, they also get an email saying, if you'd like to take from your 1 star to 5 stars, you know, you got ranked, you're only doing this thing 1 star well. How can you get to 5 stars? If you'd like to make up the gap, I can get you a customized quote.
Cool.
That's one line of business that's pretty now, after me doing it for a little while, is pretty systematic and pretty automated, but still personal touch. Yeah. And I sell coaching. So I kind of just take them up the value ladder.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool. So you have, for each kind of like service you provide, you have a different sort of onboarding process, but you have put systems in place. That sounds good, man. I like it. I mean, you know, I think I like to ask that question because, you know, most people, I think when you're thinking about things to ask somebody who runs a business, you know, marketing comes up a lot. I think content, you know, what kind of stuff you put out a lot. But like the sales piece doesn't seem to come up in a lot of the conversations a lot because, yeah, but for me, when I first stepped out into self-employment, even before when I was just doing it as a side hustle, that was my biggest hang up. Like the putting content out piece comes really naturally to me. I'm able to just, you know, I just make the questions my clients ask me, the things that I deal with my own fitness, stuff like that. I just put that out as content, write articles, make videos, stuff like that. And so that piece is pretty seamless for me. But the sales piece, when I actually got somebody on the phone, you know, who was just like, hey, I'm interested. Like I was just at first, like I had no process for that. I was like, okay, well, here's my coaching. And then I kind of choke on the price at the end, you know, like, and as I got more and more confident, yeah, then I wasn't struggling with the price because I knew the service was worth it. But at first, you know, 3.5-4 years ago, when I first started out, like it was just, it felt very difficult. So I'm always interested to see how people, you know, take somebody from potential client to client, what that process looks like. So that's awesome, man. Thanks for answering that.
Yeah, I'd like to say one more thing, Brian, about that. Yeah. Real quick, if I may. And hey, I've struggled with this too, and I'm not perfect at it. And it's follow up.
Yeah.
And I think about the, like take a seed, like if you're going to plant a seed out in, you know, a little pot or whatever, you're not going to plant that seed, put the soil into it, do all that dealio. You could tell I'm a farmer, right? and then water it, and then pull out the root system every day to check on its growth. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to do that. But what you are going to do is other ways of follow up. So once you planted that seed and you made the ask, no matter if you sucked at it or not,
yeah,
the follow up wins the day. And sometimes you find yourself at that intersection of time and space. And it's called what is luck called when preparedness and opportunity meet? And you just got to keep showing up and following up. And eventually, man, that can turn a corner. And so you never know how it's going to go, but you just start and keep watering. So.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's, you know, for me, I think that that's one of the reasons I was able to turn this into a business despite being awful at sales was because I was good at the follow-up. Like I'm a spreadsheet guy. Every single person who like engages with my stuff goes on a spreadsheet. I call it my slow lane client list. And as we, you know, every day, like I'll go through and I'll reach out to somebody, whether just a quick video message or whatever it is, you know, and that's how, like, there have been people who, you know, they followed my stuff. I've learned there are kind of like three different categories of people on social media specifically who will like, there are people who are like the heavy engagers, you know, they comment, they like, they share, they do that kind of stuff. Then there are the people who are like, they'll engage here and there. They're mostly just the likers. You know what I mean? They don't really comment or discuss. They just will like the post when it helps them. And then there's the other group that I did not realize existed for quite a while who do no engagement at all. But then when you see them in person or you talk to them, they're just like, oh yeah, that I've been watching your stuff forever. Or that post helped a lot. You know what I mean? And I was just like, I didn't know you saw my stuff, you know? So like, that's super interesting. But like, there've been people who, you know, I'll stay in touch with, you know, like as soon as I find out that they have any level of interest, I just follow up, not in what we were talking about earlier, where I'm just copying, pasting like that message. Right. I did make that mistake at first, like, but then I realized like people want, you know, I don't want to be reached out to that way. I want to have like a personal touch from somebody. So like I'll send the video message, I'll send stuff like that they can see, like I'm leaving it for them. It's not just, you know, and so that's, yeah, man, I think that's so key, the follow up, because, you know, anybody can just shotgun out a bunch of, you know, phone calls or messages, but like, you know, people want to feel remembered, you know, so
they do. And you know, I think it would be cool, man, if you and I, maybe we can write a podcast, do a podcast or write a blog series on what is life like through the eyes of different office characters, right?
right
look at like Jim, he's like the cool laid back, like people just like him, he's low pressure. Then you got Stanley, he's just completely disengaged. It's like he's there, he shows up, man, but he's doing his crossword puzzle. You got all, and Michael Scott, we wouldn't even go there, but you know, you got all these different personalities. And us, as I encourage any small business owner, be you, but be the best you can be, and don't be afraid to make mistakes, man. I know for me, it's like I get stuck on that perfection idea, which also is procrastination.
Yeah.
But really, it's progress over perfection. Like last month, or, you know,
I love that, man. I say that all the time.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Yeah.
6 months ago, did I know Brandon Woodruff? No, I didn't.
Right.
But I'm glad I do now.
Yeah, same.
You know, that's what's cool about just giving versus taking, investing versus pulling out, you know, taking out. And so, and it's at a flow. It's a flow.
Yeah. So. That's awesome, man. Yeah. Well, I'm going to, you know, like what I've been doing with the podcast, sometimes I go through the whole series of questions with people. Sometimes like we'll hang out on one for a little while, like we've done here. And it's just because like, if you are adding a lot of value in one area, I like to really just kind of keep talking about it. And you've done that in the ones we've talked about. So I'm going to wrap up with a couple of questions here. So these are still about your business, but kind of more about you. So like, I'm always intrigued with people's routines, people who are able to like run a business, get things done, you know, like what does their day look like? You know what I mean? So you don't have to give the intimate details of your day, but like, what does like, what have you found to be like a good rhythm for you as far as like how you structure your day to get everything done you need to for your business?
Yeah, it's a great question. So when I feel like getting up, I get up. That goes well for a while.
Yeah.
So honestly, you know, I felt like I was getting in a routine when I started my business. And, but then this COVID thing hit a little bit while later and that's starting to loop in it. Yeah. But, honestly, you know, I don't have a great routine right now. I will say this because I'm an idea guy, I have all kinds of places to drop these ideas in. For example, in the shower, I have that little notepad. If you've seen it, you can get where it can, it's waterproof and the pencil are waterproof.
Oh, that's
cool. Talk about someone for me or you or anyone listening to this that is, talk about like, why can't this idea come when I'm sitting in my desk?
Yeah.
You know? So all in all, I get up, I get my coffee, man, I get cranking. I feel like the best thing for me is to be active. That's how I work. I need to start doing something that's active to wake up. It could be folding laundry or it could be writing. Like this morning, I got my journal out and I kind of scripted my whole next webinar series.
Oh, cool.
And just drew boxes and arrows. And, you know, I felt like because it was something I needed to do right away. So
yeah,
to be a routine. Here's one thing I'll say. For me, my personality style, I'm a interactive person first in a disc. I'm interactive high, 99. You can't tell. And then, but I'm also 89 out of 100 dominant, decisive. Those two personalities go to war with each other.
Yeah.
The I wants to have fun. The D wants to get it done. So I found like, let's have fun while we're getting it done.
Right.
So let's do that and bring people along with you along the way. So I find like for me, I need to schedule out something blocks throughout the week to help me make sure I hit those goals. So I started doing Wednesday webinar series. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can count on Brian Horvath doing a webinar, a live webinar at 7 p.m. That helps me. That anchor helps me know I got to get content together. Then I got to do my follow-up. So that's like right in the middle of the week. It helps me know where to start, what to fill, and then do it all again.
Yeah.
That sprung out, man, into some great things. Now I'm taking that one webinar offline. It's auto webinar.
Oh, cool.
And it's a sales machine. Now I'm doing a new series that's going to go into my course content. And so it's just finding a place that you can anchor in and focus in. And that's helped me a ton.
Yeah.
To stay consistent and focused and add value.
That's awesome, man. And you know, the shower thing, it's funny you say that because that is exactly like it is the one time in my day that I seem to have the best ideas. And you know what I think it is? I think it's because I know for me and from your personality, I'm getting probably for you, like people who are like maximizers with their time, right? They're like always trying to get things done and focus. Like I am frustrated if I cannot be doing more than one thing at a time, like not in multitasking as in like not able to focus, like I'm split. Like I don't know if you know the Pomeretto technique. Am I saying that right? But it's like a 25 minute time block. And anyway, I will do that. And I am very laser focused on what I'm doing, but usually I'm doing a couple of things in that time block. And so like for me, I'm always like back to back to back things. And so when I'm in the shower or when I'm driving, even when I'm driving because I'm on the phone or I'm replying to messages or like not on the phone messages but video messages with like but like I'm usually like the shower is like the only time where I can't be doing anything else. And I think it's when my brain like thinks through those things. You know what I mean? Like comes up with new ideas. And I think I should, it's made me think I probably need to structure in more time somewhere in my day where I'm not doing anything and my brain can just rest and kind of like come up with new things rather than just try to keep up with what I'm doing, you know? So
that's a great point.
So let me ask you, where can people find you if they want to, you know, whether they want to just kind of follow along with your journey or whether they're interested in your services, where can they, where are the best places to find you? I'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah, thanks, man, for asking. I'll say two things, not to give people too many calls to action, but I'll start with what I'm currently working on, I'm really excited about. Okay. And it's called sevenways-sevendays.com, sevenways-sevendays.com. Or dash whatever.
I got it.
And so what that is we'll take them right to the next webinar that's in the webinar series where I help people know, live, and love the purpose for their finances. See, my wife and I have a great, you know, journey, man. I've become debt free a couple times, once as a single, then as a married person. Mm. We even paid off our house. $100K we paid off in a year. Crazy stories. And we just share. And I'm humble when I say it. It's not like, yeah, look what we did. No, man. It's like there's some great opportunities. So I kind of share those learnings and lessons and then add value to people through that. So I would say go there to start. But also, if I could give one more, brianhorvath.com/book. And that's where you can get my free ebook, Your Purpose, How to Know It, Live It, and Love It.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I'll put both of those in there, man. And last question for you, and we are going to wrap it up. I don't know why I flipped them. I usually do that. Where can we find you at the end? But for whatever reason, I didn't. If you had one, like if you ran into a small business owner, which you do, you know, you probably do in your line of work, but let's just say that it doesn't have to be in what you're doing, but somebody is passionate about something. They want to start their own small business and you can only give them one piece of advice. What's like the best piece of advice you could give like a new small business owner?
Yeah, I would say it's called VMG. I call it VMG. My VMG method is have a vision, mission, and goals.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean you got to have it all figured out, but let's start somewhere. At the end of the day, what's my preferred future, my vision? At the end of the day, what's my mission? More of the things I'm not going to do than what I will do. So you stay focused. And then the goals are just those little bite-sized chunks. Yeah. What do I do next? What do I do next? What do I do next? Just kind of start there and just – don't get all like these, man. One more thing. I know, Brandon, like you probably wanted a short answer, but I'm just telling you, like, I know business plans are important, but goodness gracious, you don't have to start with this big framework of a business
plan. Yeah, 5-year plan.
Yeah, it's hard because it can be like, let's just start with what do we do today? Or what's it look like next week? Or how about a year or whatever? Just start.
Absolutely, man. Well, Brian, man, this has been awesome. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your energy and your willingness to come on here and answer these questions, man. It's been really, really helpful. And I think, I mean, I know I got stuff out of it and I think other people will too. So thank you, man.
We appreciate you serving people as well, man. Glad to be a part of the team.
Yeah, man. Talk to you soon. Hey, Brandon again. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, got anything from it, please tune back in and please share it with any other small business owners in your life.